These are five important points that in some cases seem self-evident, but yet probably aren't if you feel the need to point them out. A couple of them I'd like to ask you about if I could.
Sure.
Focus on outcomes, not offerings. What does that mean?
Sure. So first of all, I guess I could say that the genie is out of the bottle, correct, when you said that the secrets are no longer the secrets, but I'm happy to share my best practices. And so some of the things that I put into place at Vangent was really taking the conversation away from talking about all the different capabilities and offerings the company did, but to more focus on what are the results that we helped our customers attain. And it really provides a better conversation starter, really, is to give an opportunity to tell a story around how you helped a certain customer achieve their goals and what you did to get there. So when I say focus on outcomes, not offerings, it's really about talking about what did you help that particular customer accomplish, and then what could you do for other customers.
You also write, invest in your company's brand no matter how much, and don't be ashamed about it. Are companies in the government market spending what they need to spend to create a brand?
Well, it's a great question because, you know, talking about a brand and getting the attention of an executive sometimes is very difficult because brand sometimes equates to cost, an unallowable cost, if you will. But truly, it's really how you talk about building a brand and to looking at it more as an investment. And if you look at it as an investment, it can really pay off in spades in a lot of different ways. And yes, the answer is that, you know, in today's environment where cost is really trumping sometimes the best solution and the best value, it's really difficult sometimes to justify the budgets that typically companies had in the past to spend on advertising or communications or branding.
Can you demonstrate return on investment in branding, especially when you're a small company or maybe you're a one-man band or one-woman band and you're the only one that this money's going to be spent on?
Well, that's a great question as well because that's always the ask. So what am I going to get back if I spend, you know, $100 on, you know, a branding strategy or investing in a new social media tool, for example? And it really, the answer is that there really is no exact science in return on investment when it comes to branding. There are different metrics that you can look at. For example, a lot of companies look at how many more hits, if you will, they would have on their site. How many new followers are they picking up, whether it be on LinkedIn or on Twitter? And those are all very good metrics, but you really need to look at it in the greater context. I tended to look at it in the context of share of the voice. And, you know, as companies are fighting for a greater share of the voice, it's looking at all the different ways that companies are broadcasting and communicating their stories. So it's a variety of metrics that you really have to look at to judge the best return on investment.
All right. I'm a culture geek. I like to talk about culture and what that means, and you address that on your list. Your brand is your culture, and culture trumps strategy any day. Now, people who spend a lot of time on strategy are probably getting heartburn when they hear you suggest that. So what do you mean there?
Well, I certainly don't mean to cause anyone heartburn, but more just kind of thinking of it in a different way. So culture is really, as I said in here in my piece, that whenever you're looking to bring someone on, whether it be a new employee or even sometimes investors ask those questions, what's the culture like at your company? A lot of times people respond with, let me tell you what our business strategy is. Well, indeed, what it really comes down to is people want to know what is it like for employees to work at their company and how are they going to thrive and prosper. But from a customer's vantage point, it's to really know, am I going to get a company that's going to take care of me and look out for me? So when I talk about culture trumping strategy, it's to really think about what are the things that contribute to a company culture. And it's about those human things. It's about how do employees, how are they taken care of? How are they thought about? And what are the opportunities they have besides just doing their jobs every day to grow in their communities and in professional ways?
I gave you an amen when I read one particular statement in your entry on equipping your employees with the tools they need to be effective brand communicators. You write, mission statements too often are too long and full of overused industry jargon. As somebody who looks at a lot of government contractor websites, I can back you up on that one for sure. A lot of, not just mission statements, a lot of information on there that says, we're the premier supplier of fill in the blank, blah, 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 blah. How do you break out of that and say something that means something to the audience that will be looking at you on the web or wherever it is that you're going?
Well, it's great to know that you're doing that, Francis, that you're going to company websites and actually looking at them, because it really is a problem with a lot of companies. They tend to write mission statements the way they would respond to an RFP or to on a proposal. They tend to write in the same language that they would use in a proposal. And indeed, you really want to look at it in a very different way. A mission and a vision statement needs to be something that is easy to memorize, easy to recite, that whole notion of the elevator. If you're going up the elevator with the CEO or a customer, what can you tell them in that short, elevator ride? And it really needs to be something memorable, something that you can wrap your brand and your company around. And more often than not, it's a story. It's something that you can relate that person to that your company has accomplished. And so I think that that's really what we have to break out of, is this whole model of the jargony type of statements, and to turn it into more of a story, into a conversation.
Eileen, I'd love to go through more of this with you, but we're out of time, so I'll have to leave it there. But I appreciate you being on with me this afternoon. Thanks for your time.